chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. It's found on page 750 of your Pew Bible. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's an amazing piece of art done by a Korean artist by the name of Elder Ree, which is very unique. It is a scroll 6 feet long by 4 feet wide. Over a period of 2 years, Ree meticulously drew the picture by hand with a very fine-tipped pen. It's not a painting, but rather a picture created by writing thousands of words with shaded letters. It is actually the New Testament written out by hand. There are about 185,000 words, with an average of 1,000 words per line. The letters are drawn, some thick and some thin, so that they bring out a picture of Jesus. The picture of the Christ is not imposed over the words. Rather, the words reveal the picture of Jesus as they are inked, light and dark, to bring out his portrait. There are 27 angels surrounding Christ and looking to him, representing the 27 books of the New Testament. If you could magnify a portion of the work, such as Christ's hand, you would actually be able to read the words. The message of the artist is that the New Testament reveals one thing, the person of Jesus Christ. From the words, we find the Word, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. These incredibly important words are the great truth that sets Christianity apart from all the other religions of the world. Our God has not remained remote and unapproachable. He became a human being who lived among human beings, experiencing the same needs, the same emotions, and yes, even the same struggles you and I face as human beings. The fully divine God became a fully human person. God did not just write us a letter, nor did he send any old representative to present his message to us. He did not just speak his laws from a mountain. He came to us as one of us. The infinite became an infant. The eternal one became a wee one. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There are two very important concepts presented in this statement. First is the use of the Word to describe Jesus. There are several possible explanations for the terminology, but the one I like the best is that by calling Jesus the Word, it is being emphasized that the very existence of the Son of God is for the sake of communication. First and foremost, he exists and has always existed from all eternity for the sake of communication with the Father. Secondarily, but infinitely more important to us, the Son of God became the divine communication to us, God expressing himself, as it were. The second most important concept in this verse is the word dwell. In the ancient Greek, the translation for dwelt meant to set up a tent. Now, it's easy to see how this meaning could imply only a temporary status. After all, who wants to spend their life in a tent? But when you look at the other times that dwelt is used in the New Testament, it becomes obvious that it is absolutely not temporary. For example, in Revelation 21, verse 3, we read, "Behold, the dwelling place, the tent, of God is with men. He will dwell," pitch his tent, "with them, and they shall be his people." Now that doesn't sound very temporary to me. By pitching his tent with us, God wants to be on familiar terms with us. He wants to be close. He wants a lot of interaction with us. He wants to be in relationship with us. Today is the day we celebrate that desire. God has come to us. The Christmas message is complete. God became tiny and vulnerable so that we could recognize God's love for us. We cannot work our way to God, but we don't have to. God came to us as a living, breathing, tangible means of grace, bundled in a young girl's arms. We speak of incarnation rather matter-of-factly, scarcely contemplating what it means for God to become one of us. And that may very well be a tragedy to think about, because there is a mystery there that we need to be considering with great diligence. Speaking about this mystery, Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, Decked Out in Flesh, said, "Choosing flesh, God chose the lowest human common denominator, and in doing so, left us no escape from his presence." That is why it is so important for us today to see this real child, to believe that what Mary and Joseph got was no Hallmark baby, but a real, belching, squalling infant who kept them up nights for weeks, and that in choosing to make his entrance in such an ordinary way, God showed us that flesh and blood, dirt and sky, life and death were good enough for him. More than that, he hallowed them, made them holy by taking part in them, and left us nothing on earth we can dismiss as trivial or unknown to him. There is a consistency and a simplicity to human life that sometimes lies hidden and yet is very basic. Underneath our fine clothes, underneath the facades we erect to protect ourselves, underneath the image we project, underneath it all, hides an ordinary, often fearful human soul that cries out for God's love. And God, through the baby Jesus, nestled in a manger, reaches out of our ordinary human souls, saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy to you." Keep in mind that a baby is, in the best of worlds, evidence that a love affair has taken place. That is certainly the case with this particular child. God has loved humankind from the moment his thoughts gave rise to us. This is the true message of Christmas, that God loves us so much that he became one of us. He became like one of us, even like the least of us. Once again, during this Christmas season of 2016, the ordinary becomes holy, and the holy, ordinary, in the Word made flesh. In him, we see ourselves. But in him, we also see the great love with which God loves us, even while we are yet sinners. And in him, we see a way out of the darkness, a way out of our fears, a way out of our sin, and a way out of our frail human conditions. God, through Jesus, reaches out to the core of our very soul, saying, "I came to save you, no matter how lowly you may be. And don't even think that you have to reach up to me, because I already came down to you. Just accept my gift of love and salvation." On this most holy day, let us embrace once again God's great gift of Jesus, the Word made flesh, through which he proves his love for us once and for all. Merry Christmas. The hymn is 166, Once in Royal David's City.